You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Razorbacks in their off week. They're coming off a 52-35 victory at BYU last Saturday. Won't play this weekend, obviously. They'll return to the field next Saturday at Auburn with an 11 o'clock game that was announced this weekend. Arkansas and Auburn will play at 11 on SEC Network. Matt Jones with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. Tom, you were out in Utah last week. You were the only of the four of us who made the trip out there. Just kind of, you know, set the scene for us, maybe what we didn't see on television. And did you get any of that free courtesy ice cream from the people at BYU?
Oh, man. I guess they did that in the stands. I missed out on that. But I have to say their press box fare was the best of the year. They had it catered in from a local Brazilian steakhouse. So I got to sample the bacon-wrapped turkey, the something they did with chicken, and then some beef like cutlets. So it was smaller portions, but man, it was tremendous with some homemade mashed potatoes and best press box meal. I'll give you all the middle size version, not the long, not the short. It was dry, but it was beautiful out there. I was out in Salt Lake last summer, but we went around to Park City, went to the, there's an Olympic Village up there that was part of the venue for the 2002 Winter Olympics. I went to the University of Utah's football stadium, and even though it was basically on the verge of being on lockdown, the young lady at the reception desk brought me up on the elevator to the, not the press box level, but one of the seating levels, and I was able to take a couple of videos. It's a huge video board and a nice venue. I think it's in the high 50,000, so Razorbacks will be out there in 2026. Let's see, Lavelle Edwards Stadium sat about 63,000. Looked like it was pretty well packed. It's a beautiful venue with those mountains. And I'm not sure if it's still the Wasatch or another range, but you see those from the press box. It was just gorgeous. My skin dried up a little bit, so it was super dry out there, but we had a good time. Went out late Thursday and did a little sightseeing on Friday, and then you know, the Razorbacks came to play. I mean, the first two offensive drives wound up with nothing. But after that, they scored on eight in a row and, you know, kind of got their confidence back. And honestly, it looked like Jaren Hall might match KJ basically score for score. And that was my take going into the BYU game was they've got to find a way to get off the field because they know how depleted they are in the secondary. And they did it. They did it with the ill-advised snap on the fourth and one when Kalani Sitake said after the game they weren't even supposed to snap it there. Jaren Hall wasn't ready for it. Latavius Breeny gets on it, and Arkansas catches that in with a touchdown, then gets the Hudson Clark pick, catches that in with a touchdown, and take the 10-point lead at halftime, and then BYU just couldn't keep up. So really a confidence-building road trip for the Razorbacks, and now they stand at 4-3, just as they were last year.
It felt a little bit like that game played out the way I thought it would in that Arkansas had the better athletes on the field. And so often when you have the better athletes, you're going to be the team that wins the game unless you make a lot of mistakes. You know, like the Missouri State game, for instance, earlier this year, Arkansas made a lot of mistakes that let Missouri State stay in that game. BYU more talented than Missouri State, obviously. But, you know, it just – you look at BYU from a – you know, the perspective that they're going into the Big 12 next year, it seems like they might have some hiccups along the way because I just don't know that they have the athletes to hang with those types of teams.
Yeah, I'll take that one first, Scotty, and then hand it over. Yeah, I was a little surprised at their linebacker play. I thought it was going to be a little bit better, but I think they zoned Arkansas a lot, and KJ just found the middle of the field. Just to start with, the Arkansas offensive line really protected very well in that game. When you think about some of the red zone stuff, KJ was afforded a lot of time to look over all his options. And you think about the TD passes to Knox and then the two short ones to Landers, that was a lot of protection. And against the zone, someone's going to pop free, and KJ found them. But yeah, I was a little, I thought their secondary and their linebacker play was a little bit slow. And Arkansas certainly capitalized on that. It looked to me like they were spying on KJ, so they didn't want him to run, and they did a good job limiting his runs. But that freed up the middle over the linebackers, and it also freed up the edges for the backs. And Arkansas just really took advantage. That the checkdowns and the little swings and wheel routes were open basically all game, and Arkansas had it basically whatever it wanted to pick, and they took advantage of that.
Yeah, I thought Arkansas's execution on the wheel routes was probably one of my favorite parts of the game. It's just that's just seeing a running back matched up with a linebacker who's probably a little bit outmatched athletically, obviously. That was really pretty. I think KJ connected on two passes that way, one for a touchdown, if I'm not mistaken. I think it went to DeBinion for the score, and then AJ Green on a big I think it was like a 30-plus yard play. I think maybe after Arkansas got backed up on a holding penalty. I think it was a holding penalty on Dalton Wagner, which was his first penalty I think he'd been called for all season. So he'd been pretty consistent. I wrote about him ahead of the game. He had another pretty good game. It's just kind of what you're becoming accustomed to. But I thought, like, aside from the views that, you know, the people that were covering the game, including Tom and Bob and Christina Long, they were tweeting pictures of the view from the press box. And I thought maybe the most impressive thing aside from that was KJ throwing for more yards than the quarterback who was facing Arkansas's defense. Like, that was he had a really good day. And I think you just kind of saw the complete package from KJ. Ran the ball okay, but obviously the play where he broke, I think, three or four tackles and then found Trey Knox for the long gain that ended up setting up a touchdown pass. You know, those are the kinds of plays that you expect from KJ, maybe not after a week off from injury, but that just, I think that kind of tells you the caliber player KJ is. And Arkansas's defense, you know, it looked like it was going to be basketball on grass, you know, especially in the first half. But I think Arkansas's defense maybe gave up one or two scores in the second half, and they were able to come up with some three and outs. And the way Arkansas's offense was rolling, I mean, if BYU wasn't able to basically match them score for score, it was going to get out of hand. And, you know, Arkansas easily could have made that a three-score game, three-touchdown final score late, maybe had a little bit of mercy on them late. And it probably would have been a three-score game if Sam Pittman didn't have the respect he did for Kalani Sitake.
Jefferson, the 5 touchdown passes, he became the fourth Arkansas quarterback to ever throw for 5 touchdowns. The other three were Brandon Allen, Ryan Mallett, and Tyler Wilson. Interesting that all three of those quarterbacks were recruited by Bobby Petrino, and they all had 5 touchdown games. A lot of them while they were playing for Petrino. Allen did it after Petrino had left. All kinds of things to sort through, you know, just little notables from that game. Matt Landers tied the school record with 3 touchdown passes. You had Hudson Clark with his 11 tackles, 2 turnovers forced. He was SEC Defensive Player of the Week. And then Rocket Sanders, despite the fact that he didn't play for a really large chunk of the middle of the game, you know, he still finishes with 180-something yards and 2 touchdowns, had the 64-yard touchdown run. And he's up to 870 now for the season, which leads the SEC. Just one of those days where, you know, you kind of go back to having the athletes, and man, they're athletes. They just kind of, they ate at that game, you know, against BYU. It was one of those days where, you know, they were able to, you know, really feast from a statistical standpoint.
Yeah, they really did. And, you know, the thing with Rocket, I did 10 frequently asked questions going into the season. It was, will Arkansas have a 1,000-yard rusher? And I just said, no, the snaps or the reps were going to be split up, the carries. And then when Dominic Johnson comes up back, they'll be split up even more. And as it turns out, I wrote that right before Jimmy Smith and Sam Pittman told us that, Rocket's pretty much earned, you know, half the carries. And so, yeah, he's on course for blowing away 1,000. And, yeah, you know, Matt Landers had not caught a touchdown pass yet, and he winds up with 3 in 1 game. Hazelwood was a frequent target, really took advantage of that middle. Hopefully his shoulder's feeling better when they come back. I cannot think of a team that was more badly in need of having a week to rest. When you think about Bumper Pool's hip, when you think about the issues in the secondary, and then Jaden Hazelwood's shoulder, this is, you know, and it looked like Malik Chavis suffered a concussion in that game. So I think when they come back, I think you'll see Chavis ready to go. I think Jaden Johnson and Kari Johnson are both going to be ready. And then Slusher should be right on the brink of being ready. And I think, you know, kind of in a backwards kind of a way, the fact that Kewan Parker and Trent Gordon and some other guys, you know, they made some mistakes, but they got to play. And I think it, they feel like now they'll have more depth going into these last five.
Yes, on Rocket and Landers real quick, you know, in the preseason, I think I said multiple times, you know, during those daily podcasts that we were doing, that I thought Rocket was a guy that could run for 1,000 yards. He's just, you know, maybe touched the 1,200 yard mark. I mean, he's that talented. I mean, he, you know, outside of maybe some offensive linemen and possibly Drew Sanders, like, I think he's Arkansas's best pro prospect down the line. I just think he's physically built for, you know, kind of the beating that running backs take at the SEC level and also at the NFL level. He's just so explosive. And he can, you know, he can catch passes out of the backfield too, which kind of makes him a dynamic threat. You could line him up, you know, like they did at Alabama last season, maybe in the slot or maybe even out wide, maybe get some mismatches that way if he's, you know, hooked up with a linebacker. But I think more than anything, I think it was really a big deal for Matt Landers to, you know, feel really involved in the passing game. He was like the only one of Arkansas's top four receivers that didn't have a score going into the BYU game. I mean, Warren Thompson had one, Keetron Jackson, I think, had one or two going into it. And Landers was like Arkansas's second most often targeted receiver going in, but he hadn't really come close to finding the end zone. For him to get three scores in one game, probably a little bit of a confidence boost for him. And I think Sam Pittman said it kind of validated his decision to get into the portal, trust the coaches and trust that offensive system, and just kind of go all in with Arkansas. I think that was a really big deal for him.
Yeah, you know, with Sanders, he's on pace to potentially have one of the best years that a running back has ever had at Arkansas, not named Darren McFadden. McFadden had the great seasons in 06 and 07. It would really take a lot for Sanders to be able to reach that level. But, you know, when you look at the – just assuming that he stays healthy, assuming that, you know, he continues to have the types of numbers that he's been putting up over the back, you know, five games of the season, maybe six games if they make a bowl game, you're looking at a running back that might end the season with somewhere in the 1,300 to 1,500-yard range. I mean, that's an incredible – season. I know McFadden set a really high bar for Arkansas, but this has been really impressive stuff from Rocket Sanders. And you know, you keep thinking that, you know, he's going to have an off week and somebody's going to catch him. Well, his off week at this point was what, like an 84-yard game? I mean, this has been an incredible season for him, and rightfully so. He's earned some midseason All-America type honors this week.
Yeah, he has. And the thing is, when A.J. Green is in the game or DeBinion or Dominic Johnson, you don't feel like there's just going to be this huge drop-off. But Sanders certainly has earned what he's gotten. And I like what Scotty said a minute ago about they throw passes to him. He's got great hands. And we saw during camp in a pass protection drill, he was smushing guys. I mean, he
kept great bumper pass, bro.
He was. And he like kept bumper pull out, and he's just physically imposing guy. He's on the kind of a close to McFadden pace, but remember in 2007, McFadden had a 321-yard game against South Carolina among the last five or so. So that kind of shot him way up there. And I don't see a scenario where Rocket could do that unless he did it on like 15 carries and just, you know, blew up. But I like that they mix it up. I like that A.J. Green had a nice series against BYU, that DeBinion caught the wheel route for the touchdown right before halftime. They're giving these other guys chances. So they've done a good job of managing. You know, Dominic Johnson is back and healthy, but he had one of the runs that Sam Pittman called a little bit high. He didn't hit it up in there on the goal line against Mississippi State. So he needs a confidence booster. You know, we saw what he did for Arkansas last year, and hopefully he's around in, you know, 2023 to get back on it.
One more thing on Rocket. You know, I think he's got a pretty good chance to keep up the pace that he's running the ball at. Because I was just looking at some numbers on CFB stats and, you know, SEC running or rush defense numbers. And, you know, in the back half of the schedule or down the stretch of the schedule, you know, the next game up is Auburn. Auburn is dead last in the league at rushing yards allowed, over 200 a game. Arkansas also plays LSU, who is number 8, and they play Ole Miss, who's number 7 in the league. And then there's, you know, obviously a game in there against Missouri. You never know how Missouri is going to, you know, you don't know what they're going to look like late in the season on that Black Friday game. And then you got Liberty. So, I mean, there's plenty of opportunity for Rocket to have, you know, potentially really big days and, you know, maybe end up in that range that Matt mentioned, like, you know, push maybe 1400 yards. I mean, I think that's a definitely realistic possibility right now.
Wow. I had not looked at the upcoming opponent. So that's an interesting factoid. You just dropped that right there. Another thing, and Sam Pittman talked about this during the week, it was ball security. He said they've already lost more fumbles than they did all of last season. So I know that's 2 from Rocket, the Missouri State game on the 1, and then I think the Mississippi State game, he lost 1, Dubinion lost 1, and KJ's lost 2. So it had become such a rare occurrence for Arkansas ball carriers, even receivers, to lose the ball. And so that's just been more of a point of emphasis. We know they do all the ball security drills. And sometimes just freakish things happen. I mean, it was a helmet right on the ball against Missouri State. And then in some of the other situations, guys just clawing and clawing until, you know, if you're held up, until they can claw the ball out. But that's just something to keep an eye on these last 5.
That Ole Miss rush defense, it's going to drop even further down in the rankings because they haven't played very many good teams at this point. And the back half of their schedule is really loaded with good teams. And Auburn, Tank Bigsby just ran all over Ole Miss. And I think that whenever it comes time for Arkansas to play Ole Miss and Fayetteville later this year, they're going to put on that Auburn tape and they're going to find some ways to exploit that Ole Miss rush defense. You know, Scotty mentioned Auburn. Yeah, this is going to be a big chance for Sanders to, and really, I think the whole Arkansas offense to have some success when they go down to Auburn, especially if they've got all of their playmakers in place after that week off. We're going to talk a little bit more about the second half of the season here in just a minute. Real quick, guys, first half analysis. And I know we're a little over the first half of the season. We're 7 games into it, but we are during a bye week. So let's just pretend we've only had one half of the season to this point, or we're right at the midway point. But just an analysis on where we are through the first half of the season. They're 4-3 overall. They're 1-3 in the SEC. If you ask me, they have won the games I thought they would win, except for A&M. You know, I thought they were the better team than A&M. But then again, I think going into the season, I wasn't sure how they would do in some of these other games. You know, I thought South Carolina was going to be better than they were. I thought Cincinnati was a real toss-up to start the season. There were a lot of people that thought BYU was a toss-up given where it fell during conference play, how physical BYU is, given the fact that it was a long road trip. So I think if you would have asked people at the beginning of the season, yeah, a lot of people would have loved to, you know, dreamed that they were going to be 7-0 or 6-1 at this point. But I think that, you know, practically speaking, most people probably thought they were going to fall somewhere in that 4-3 to 5-2 range, given the schedule that they had. And so they're right there. They're at 4-3. They've got a really winnable back half of the schedule. And like I said, we'll talk about the back half of the schedule here in just a minute. But Tom, your analysis on the first half of the season, they're 4-3. They're 1-3 overall. Are they where you thought they would be? Or has there been anything during the first half of the season that surprised you?
My analysis would pretty much fold into what you just talked about right there. They gave away a game against A&M. I mean, you can't, you know, describe it any other way. They were up 14-7 going in to make it 21. And they fumble, and that turned the game around. And they were looked like they were kind of reeling a little bit through the rest of the second quarter and in the third. Then they kind of got reinvigorated, but it was a little bit too late. I think if Sam Pittman had it to do over again, he might not have called the timeouts when they were draining the clock right at the end. I think they would have probably run a play on the third down. If I had to do it, I would have run a play on the third down. I would have centered the ball a little bit better, and then I wouldn't have called the timeout. And then I wouldn't have called the timeout before the field goal attempt. And that way you've given yourself 2 timeouts left, but you also you're only 5, 6, 8 seconds difference on the clock. Now that's splitting hairs, but they gave the game away. They should be 5-2 right now. Arkansas fans would feel a little bit differently. They'd be better positioned to finish higher in the West, but what's done is done. They're going to have to I don't think any of these last five games are going to be super easy. I mean, even Liberty coming in here, they got a really good offense that I think is going to be able to exploit the defense. They're going to be healthier on the in the secondary. They're finding, discovering ways to try to mask their deficiencies and make up for them. But it's going to be a constant battle through these last five games because they're so depleted. But otherwise, other than the A&M game, I would say, and the injuries in the secondary, I would say they are just about on target with how I thought they would be. The Missouri State game being somewhat of an outlier, and that, you know, they had to really fight in the fourth quarter to win that game. And it was because of those mistakes. So the ball security issues we mentioned a moment ago have played out a little bit more than we thought. But I mean, otherwise, I think they're a better third down conversion offense. Special teams probably about like we thought, and you know, otherwise I'm looking at five pretty close to toss up games the rest of this year. But we know that Sam Pittman has instilled the belief that they can win tight games, the ability to win tight games, and I think they're going to win their fair share of these last five.
Yeah, and I think the BYU game did a lot for them in terms of just being able to like fully believe again that they can go out and compete and win a game, and to have that win come on the road in the fashion that it did. I mean, that can't do anything but help their spirits a little bit. And then, you know, I can't remember honestly the last time we've seen Sam that, I guess, just charismatic and openly happy, you know, after a game. You know, as you know, he was in his press conference after the BYU game. Like, he understood, I think, going in, like the magnitude of that game. Like, it could honestly, it could have determined if they had lost the trajectory of the season. Like, they could have kind of spiraled out of control down the stretch. Because, like you said, there are some tough games coming up. But the fact that they won that, and I think Sam was so proud of the kids for the way that they fought and ended up winning that game pretty comfortably late. I mean, you saw it, that joy that he was radiating kind of fed off into the other guys. Like, Dalton Wagner comes in, he's always full of personality anyway, but he was smiling. KJ was smiling. The defensive guys were having a good time talking after the game. And I think that kind of stuff matters, like just being in a good frame of mind going into a bye week, and then going into your bye week, taking care of your bodies and your mind, and just kind of resetting a little bit, but still having that spirit about you going into the last few weeks of the season, really, really big. And I think Arkansas is probably in a pretty good spot to, I can't say that they're going to replicate their run from last year, but they're in the same position pretty much that they were last year, you know, just minus a couple injuries. But, you know, it's always a good thing to go into a bye week. I know KJ this week is not, I don't think he's throwing the ball at all. You know, Sam said that his shoulder had been a little bit sore. Hazelwood's getting healthy. He's been your top target at receiver. I think there was another guy that I'm forgetting about, but just getting healthy again, really big deal. Offensive analysis from the first half. I mean, run game has been maybe better than I expected. You're getting contributions from a lot of guys, not just Rocket. And it's not just running the ball either. Like, these guys are more than capable of, you know, slipping out of the backfield and catching passes and picking up first downs and stuff. Offensive line been really good. Like, you got a couple of guys like on the midseason All-America teams. That's always great to have. And that's not even counting the other guys who are also having really good seasons. Defensively, like the sack totals early in the year was pretty impressive. I think Arkansas, I might expect them to kind of get back to a little bit more havoc creating maybe in these last five games. But we'll see. I mean, the secondary is kind of is what it is, but I think Barry, especially in that BYU game, showed that he can make some adjustments. And, you know, if they can get stops, they've got a pretty good offense, and they got a quarterback that can lead touchdown drives and scoring drives and stuff like that. So I just think they're in pretty good shape, you know, going in the last five games.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is sponsored by Kendall King Design, Display, Signage. KendallKing.com. That's KendallKing.com.
The Kendall King Group family of companies plays to win, just like our hogs. We know how demanding retail marketing is today. From digital omnichannel creative services, through in-store signing and displays, and finally, to social influence. We've got you covered. Our KKG Inc. family of companies, Kindle King, Shopcart Creative, and Soapbox Influence are winning with multiple retailers and brands. We play to win and will be a winning partner for all your retail marketing service needs. Go Hogs!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
We hope you'll join us at the next Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. It will be next Wednesday, October 26th. Chuck Barrett, the voice of the Razorbacks, will be our featured speaker at the Hilton Garden Inn off of Weddington Drive in Fayetteville. We picked this time for Chuck to come speak to our group because you've got football going on, obviously, but the crossover's starting to occur with basketball. The Razorbacks will play their first basketball exhibition game on Monday night against Rogers State at Bud Walton Arena. So come hear Chuck Barrett next Wednesday at the Hilton Garden Inn. For more information, nwadealpiggy.com. And speaking of basketball, we're getting pretty close to kicking off our basketball podcast of Mid-America. Be on the lookout. Our first episode of that podcast will be coming up soon. All right, Arkansas's got five games left this season, and usually on our Friday podcast, we go game by game and do picks for that weekend. What we're going to do this time, we're going to go game by game for Arkansas these final five games and just talk about these games and kind of what we think these games might look like for Arkansas. And we'll start, Tom, with Auburn when they return to the field next week. Auburn, this is a series that's been really frustrating for the Razorbacks. They've lost six straight. It began with, you know, the Gus Malzahn, Brett Bielema years where there was blowout after blowout. And then the last couple of years have been frustrating losses because Arkansas felt like they had the better team in both games. The game 2 years ago, still one that I think sticks in a lot of people's crawl. When Bo Nix spikes the ball backward late in the game, Arkansas recovers it, should have won. There was an officiating error. We all know how that one went down. It feels like this is a game that Arkansas has had circled all year, that there's a really good chance for revenge against Auburn on Auburn's home field, given where Arkansas is in its program and given the fact that Auburn's a little bit down right now.
Great motivation for the Razorbacks. It's a cherished deal. Anytime you can win on an opponent's field, Arkansas has done it at Auburn several times, and so they'll be highly motivated to go in and kind of break that streak. But I also think from the Auburn perspective, you know, they've been down. People are kicking them. Their head coach is under great fire, and I think it's probably a foregone conclusion. It's just a matter of time on when Brian Harsin will be let go. But I think they feel like Arkansas is a game they can win. So I think you're coming off a bye week. I think you're going to see a tremendous effort from Auburn. The question I would have is, if they get down, how much are they holding on to the rope? They battled against Ole Miss, no question. They battled in a kind of a crummy game against Missouri and found a way to win it. So I expect they're going to be tough. But I'll say a week in advance, I'm probably going to pick Arkansas to win the game.
It kind of reminds me a little bit, Scotty, of that game that they played at LSU last year when you knew it was, you know, a season that was – I mean, for lack of a better term, kind of a throwaway season for LSU. You go into Tiger Stadium on a Saturday night, and it was not anywhere near, you know, the type of atmosphere that you're used to seeing there. I've always said I think Auburn is one of the best, you know, maybe one of the most underrated, if not the most underrated atmospheres in this conference. But it's not going to be the type of Auburn, you know, that Arkansas is used to going in there and playing. And then you throw an 11 a.m. kickoff on top of that, and, you know, I think it probably takes the crowd out of it a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's fair too. And something else that I think is going to be interesting to watch is, like, Arkansas's offense is the kind that can, you know, create explosive plays. Like, you got explosive players, you know, at receiver, running back, your quarterback's really dynamic. Like, those kinds of players can take a home crowd out of the game too, just kind of being who they are. The thing is just going to be Arkansas containing Tank Bigsby, I think. Like, that is, and then I think they've got, was it Jarquez Hunter? Is their number two back? He's really quality too. And both of those guys had really good days against a kind of suspect Ole Miss run defense. But that kind of feels like all they've got on offense, which is really weird. Like, they're, you know, I think they've tried a number of different quarterbacks this season, and there's been some controversy in the past just about the availability of those guys and the health of them. And I'm not sure that they're super sold on really any of their quarterbacks, which is kind of strange, especially because it kind of feels like they ran Bo Nix out of town, and they probably wish more than anything that they had somebody like that, you know, at the quarterback position. It was really a dynamic type playmaker. Arkansas saw that firsthand last year when he came in here and pretty much whipped Arkansas pretty good. I think it just comes down to Arkansas's run defense. And the crazy thing is, like, on Monday when I was writing the story about the game time being announced, Arkansas's lost the last six games in this series by like an average margin of 29 points. Like, these games of late have not been close, except for the game at Auburn, I think in Sam's first year, right? So I think that changes this year. I think to Tom's point, I think both of these teams are going to come in thinking that they can win it. I just think Arkansas is the more well-rounded offense, and I think it might be another one of those games that, you know, it might just be which defense can come up with one more stop than the other one.
Liberty comes into Fayetteville on November 5th, an interesting matchup. You know, we've already had a game this year in Fayetteville where you had a coach and coaching rehab with Bobby Petrino. What's going on with Hugh Freeze at Liberty right now? And they're 6-1 going into this weekend. They're going to play BYU. That game is in Lynchburg. They expect that they might get Charlie Brewer back for this game. If not, they've got 2 weeks off until they play Arkansas. And so Arkansas is probably going to see Charlie Brewer, the old Baylor quarterback, whenever Liberty comes into Fayetteville later this year. He broke his hand, I believe, and during the preseason has been out to this point. But they're 6-1, Tom, and their only loss was a one-pointer to Wake Forest. I think it might have been in overtime. It wasn't in overtime. I'm looking at it right here. It was a 37-36 loss in four quarters. It was at Wake Forest. Obviously, Wake Forest, a pretty good team. You know, we saw what Missouri State did earlier this year, and I would assume that Liberty could possibly put a similar type scare into Arkansas.
It's going to be a tough game, no matter how you cut it. It's funny. I was out in Utah and a shuttle driver, I was talking to him. He said, man, a real test for BYU is next week. And this guy's a BYU fan. And I told him about Liberty. And I said, and they got Charlie Brewer probably going to come back. And he's like, oh, well, then I'm going to pick BYU then. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, he was a quarterback at Utah. And they had this long winning streak against BYU. And then when Charlie Brewer was the quarterback in Utah, BYU beats him. So he has no faith in Charlie Brewer. I'll obviously have more commentary on the Liberty game when it comes up, but that's not going to be an easy out for Arkansas.
No, I don't think it will either, but it's a game that I'm pretty confident that Arkansas can get a win in. Just looking at some of their numbers, like, they're not scoring the ball. Like, they're averaging about 30 points a game. Defense is playing fairly well. I just, like, the last game they played, they beat Gardner-Webb 21-20. Like, that just doesn't inspire just like a whole lot of confidence, I would imagine. You know, that Liberty can come in and win, you know, in an SEC stadium. They've got like one receiver who's caught more than 11 passes. And so it kind of feels like they're maybe a little bit one-dimensional in terms of like when they throw the ball, like who they're going to, maybe a little bit like Arkansas was with Burks last year. This is a game that I fully expect Arkansas to win. I don't know if they'll blow them out by any means, but it should be a game that Arkansas really doesn't, you know, if things are clicking right and their heads are where they should be, I don't think they should have any trouble moving the ball. It'll just, you just kind of got to hope that Arkansas's defense is really connected and they kind of don't make it a game like Missouri State.
LSU comes into Fayetteville on November 12th. It's the second of three straight games at Razorback Stadium. LSU is a team that I just cannot get a feel for. You know, I kept saying after they lost to Florida State, I think they're better than I really jumped off that wagon when they lost to Tennessee. But then you see Tennessee come back and beat Alabama. LSU, they're 5-2, and I think they are a favorite whenever Ole Miss comes to Baton Rouge this weekend. Brian Kelly's got them turned around and I guess believing and playing a lot better than they did last season. And that's a really interesting game, Tom.
It is. I'm going to group both them and Ole Miss together right now. LSU has won its road games against Florida and Auburn. They were battles. And I think Jaden Daniels is just getting more and more comfortable, and their defense can be quite salty. So again, I think it's a toss-up game when LSU comes in here. Arkansas is going to have to find ways to move on that defense. And there's going to be the whole, you know, Greg Brooks and Joe Fouché. I mean, these guys were, can you imagine if they had those two guys in their secondary this year? They would have been so much better. Anyway, and then Ole Miss, Arkansas, how are they going to stop Ole Miss's run game? And then Lane Kiffin, the way he's diagramming plays right now, they are really, really going to be tough. And I'm going to approach it much like the BYU game. They've got to get off the field two or three times to give themselves a chance to win that game. I'm going to say both those games are probably very close to pick'ems.
I mean, I'm looking at LSU's schedule right now. They're kind of going through it, and they're like in the heart of a really, really tough stretch. They went to Auburn, lost to Tennessee. They're at Florida. They win that game. And then their next two games before they even play Arkansas is Ole Miss and Alabama. They get both of those games at home. But I don't really think it matters to your body when you're taking that beating from those two teams, like where the game is being played. Like that's just like three top 10 teams or three top seven teams in the span of 4 weeks right before you go to Arkansas. It's pretty tough. And I like Jaden Daniels a lot. But I just think it could be like a win that Arkansas gets just on account of the body blows that LSU's taken, you know, in the previous weeks.
Yeah, Arkansas, a physical team too. One of the interesting things about the Ole Miss game that Sam Pittman mentioned earlier this week is that they might get Torian Carter back by that game. He said that they think they might get Carter back for the final two games of the regular season, said he'll definitely be available by the bowl game. We don't know if it's going to be the same Torian Carter that we saw during the spring, but Tom, if it is, that's a real big piece in the middle of that defensive line against a team like Ole Miss that can run the ball that could be pretty big.
It was a huge piece, and I would argue that he might have been their best defensive tackle this season had he been healthy, because he was having that kind of a spring. How ready he would be, how close to 100% would be obviously a question. And does he want to – I guess he wouldn't burn a year if he just played the last couple games. Anyway, yeah, and I think LSU is a 1.5-point favorite at home against Ole Miss, which is a little strange, but look at Ole Miss's schedule. They just have not had a difficult schedule to this point. I do believe that a Carter's availability could be a big factor, because they're going to have to slow Quinshon Judkins and who's the other back? Those two guys. They're going to have to slow the two Ole Miss running backs.
You know, one of the things for Carter, just one more thing. Again, there's no guarantee that he's going to play like he did before the knee injury. But one of the things that I thought is, you know, like during the Mississippi State game that was really critical for Arkansas was that in the past couple of years, when they would play that drop eight and rush three, they had a guy in the middle that could really, you know, create a lot of havoc. John Ridgeway last year was the guy. You know, Carter could have potentially been that missing link. And you play Ole Miss, again, they're running the ball more this year than they're throwing it. But, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is it allows them to do some different things with their defense that maybe they haven't been able to do, you know, to this point yet this season, Tom.
Yep. Think you're dead on there, Matt.
Arkansas ends the season with Missouri. It's the Black Friday game in Columbia. You never know what the weather's going to be like up in Columbia for that. You go to Big Ten country, you get Big Ten weather a lot of times that time of year. And it's, you know, we've seen some real nasty weather for Arkansas and Missouri games in Columbia. We've seen it here in Fayetteville too, but not quite like what we've seen up there. Missouri, they're a team that I think is kind of like Auburn in that their head coach probably on slippery ice, maybe not quite so much as Brian Harsin is. You know, but, you know, I've mentioned this a number of times. I just don't think Drinkwitz is going to cut it at Missouri for very long. And who knows what kind of season they're having by the time Arkansas comes in, and could be a similar situation to Auburn. You know, do they let go of the rope depending on how the season goes up until that point?
Yeah, that's a good point to it, Matt. And so many weeks away, how will Arkansas be from a health standpoint? Where will Missouri be? They've got some winnable games coming up against the SEC East teams that they're playing. So, you know, Eli, I think this game means a lot to him. And so he'll have his team ready. And who knows, man, if Arkansas can somehow get on a roll, there could be a lot riding on that game if they roll into Columbia the day after Thanksgiving, you know, with a chance to move into an upper tier bowl if they get hot.
Definitely a game I think Arkansas can win, just because Missouri has not done really anything to impress me at this point in the year. And I really soured on them. I think it was in week two, they went to Kansas State and lost by almost 30 points and should have lost by 30 points. They scored a touchdown, I think, with like no time on the clock to make it a 28-point game. I mean, I'm just not super impressed with them. But the thing is, if you look at the home games that have been on their schedule, they beat Louisiana Tech and, you know, Tom Murphy's alma mater pretty good in week one, beat Abilene Christian pretty soundly. And then they played with Georgia, you know, until late in that game. And so there's something, probably just a comfortability, like with a lot of teams in the league, you know, you just play better when you sleep in your own bed that night and, you know, kind of get the home crowd behind you. But I think, you know, Vanderbilt this week, I mean, obviously it's important to not lose to Vanderbilt. It's more important to not lose to them than to beat them. And then they got Kentucky at home too. They've kind of got a pretty tough stretch coming up, but you know, it seems like they're playing a lot better at home than they are on the road.
Yeah, Vanderbilt trying to snap a 24-game SEC losing streak this week, and I think Missouri might have been the last team that they beat in 2019. Come to WholeHogSports.com throughout the next let me start that over. Come to WholeHogSports.com this weekend. We'll have more Razorback football coverage, also Razorback basketball coverage as the team gets ready for its start of the exhibition play against Rogers State. And Scotty will be taking off for Austin next week for the Razorbacks game down there against the Longhorns. Kind of an interesting game, not just Arkansas-Auburn football, but Arkansas-Texas basketball next weekend. Will be a big week at our website leading up to both of those games. For Tom Murphy and Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.